Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
All right. As you know, there are a lot of things going on. And you all remember what future shock means, correct? It's when there's so many shifts that are happening. Social shifts, technology shifts, cultural shifts that take place that people become overwhelmed. And this overwhelm causes people to stop instead of move forward because you're shocked by what's going on. So instead, what I like to do is get a high overview. How many, on a scale from 1 to 10, how comfortable do you all feel about the future? And by comfortable, confident, what I really mean by how much you all feel like you know the future and you're prepared for it, for what's to come in the midst of all these things that's happening. Be honest, because we get to scale up from whatever our most honest points are. We can't scale up if we're not honest. Okay, I see some 7s, some 7.5s. A 6. Okay, that's good. That is very good. Because when we realize where we at with this thing, it gives us a great ability to move forward. So for me, I'm at a 10 right now, maybe a 9.5. I give myself room, that 0.5 to grow, because that 0.5 is really my execution. Because I will say this, there's what we know and then there's what we know we can do, right? Because there's a lot of information that we can know something about, but then realize that I'm not actually prepared to do the thing that will actually put me in position, right? So let's say, how long and how many years have you all known about cryptocurrency? How many years have you known? Like the first time you heard it from now. I'm gonna give you a second to think about that. About 4 years, somebody say about 7 years, 5 to 6 years, 3 years. Now, with that timeline of 3 years to 7 years, you all agree that if you truly understood it, right, that you could have become a millionaire in the time from just when you've known about it. Now, let's calculate. When we say millionaire, that means that the available capital that you have to invest in it, right, versus the opportunity cost of increasing gains that it has, consistently produced over time. So if you didn't have any money and you knew about crypto, then it's not worth anything, right? Because you still couldn't, minus your bills and everything else, you still couldn't take that additional income and say, I'm going to invest it here. But then we can always say that if I would have known and really got into it and you converted your whole life around it, then it's safe to say that you would have took every available dollar and you would have put it into this asset class. Is that correct? That if you were confident about it, you would have structured your whole life around it. You'd be walking around with a Bitcoin chain right now. You wouldn't talk to a girl unless she has some crypto. You know what I'm saying? Your whole life would be around it. Boy, sometimes I see people wearing them little ugly Bitcoin shirts, but I get it. Boy, Bitcoin done changed their life. I wear one of them ugly Bitcoin shirts is like the new ugly Christmas sweaters. Your whole life would be around these things. So, not only that, I take concepts like that and then I ask myself, okay, the idea of being too late, it's not a real concept. And we hear this all the time. People say, this is the last time for the wealth transfer. How many people have heard that, right? But how many times have we heard that over the last, let's say, 5 years specifically? Over the last 5 years, since 2020, we've heard that every single year. Now, every year can't be the last year if the next year is the last year. Somebody got to be lying. But the reality of it is, it's not that they're lying, it's that time has changed and they're not saying it the right way, right? When they say these are the last times for this type of quantum leap that you can make to position yourself for a certain class of lifestyle. So times include the times that we're living in now. Right? From 2020, I really go for 2019, but let's say 2020 up until 2030, 2030. I would say about 2032 is the rougher estimates of people saying this is 12-year cycle. Okay, so let's say you got this 12-year cycle in order to build wealth. So it ain't that every year is the last year, but you are in the cycle that will not be in existence again. How do you know? First of all, look around. Society is in a very awkward phase. I call it the ugly teenage phase. One day it's gonna be beautiful, right? But for now, they got the little bumpy roll going on in the face. The nose ain't matching the facial structure. The chin ain't got settled yet. You know what I'm saying? None of those things. But you see the potential. That's how technology is today. We got these little ugly AI videos. You know what I mean? The feet don't match. The toes don't match, right? But we see the potential. And we like, if I just stick with this, I see where it's going. The reason that it's not in that phase yet is because it hasn't been powered correctly. The future needs to be powered. So when we look at that, I want to take you all back a little bit because I really need you all to understand this and I need you all to be up to date, right? These are things that have historically helped me become who I am today by looking in the future and taking the opportunities that exist in the future very serious, right? So let me pull up my screen, matter of fact, so you all can see this. Because I believe that I am in perfect position. I just got off the phone with a very powerful network that wants to help amplify my platform and voice and things of the nature for 2025. And it's not because they wanted to, it's because they have to. It's because the things that I've been saying, the position that I put myself in is perfect for the times that we're living in. And they realize that and they're like, wait a minute, we need you and how can we leverage each other, right? These type of opportunities didn't exist before, right? But they exist now. And I knew that that time would exist. And I had tweeted it out before that conscious influencers are the most underpriced asset because people could not understand the value of it because they were rating it based on an old world scale instead of a new world scale. And everything that you do, right? I need you to write that down, new world scale. I need you to measure it by the new world scale and not the old world. Right, because there's too many people that's measuring the value of what they're doing and what they want to do by an old world scale, which will serve you no purpose. Right, so let's say my brother Paris, right, you drive trucks. So, right now, your physical labor and your time is worth a certain amount based on each load, the stops that you have, right? The what do they call it? The routes that you have.
Rouse.
Yes, sir. I might be going to Atlanta. My brother Alex, good energy, man. He will obviously stay up to date with what's going on in the trucking world a little bit. So you got your routes. So as a physical person, you can show up, right, in your route. Of course, the world needs trucking. It is a circuitry of the world so that everything flows, energy flows through the trucking industry. It's the same way you think about electricity flowing through the network nodes within your computer in order to deliver information from place to place. The physical representation of that would be the trucking industry, right? Now, you would say, well, my value of my time in 24 hours, in 2 weeks, this is how much is worth. So then you will set up your future around the value that you know you can commit to, right? Based on your physical presence, your time, and your routes. Now, that is, if you measure it by the current world standard, then it's the old world standard, right? Meaning that whatever's current is already old because the world is shifting. We know that Elon Musk is producing electric vehicles that will be automated on the road. Now, everybody won't have one, but the rich will. Why? Because the future is not about the average driver buying a truck. It's about him leasing them out to companies for you to then manage that energy, right? Because what's going to happen is that you have your routes, let's say you contracted to, you get with somebody else, let's say you can get you some credit, right? And you say, I want to buy these trucks because I have these routes. So now it's not about your physical participation in it. It's about your ownership of those contracts in this new world to say, if I can manage energy, then I still have access to this circuitry, right? And this is how it can become more efficient. So what he's doing is he's setting up the new world infrastructure for managers, right? And operators. So the new world infrastructure is saying that I don't want to have to pay people more, but I do want access to the network. I still need the output of the work because no matter what, goods will always need to be transported from one place to another because that's how America was built. So what ended up happening is he create the, well, let me take a step back. The rich are going through this phase right now where they have borrowed money to buy assets, and the money that they borrow comes with a certain interest rate. So they want to continue to stay rich. Right now, there's just reported in New York 1,444 billionaires, and that statistic is up by 4%. 4% from 2023. So now there's somewhere around 2,323 billionaires in the world, and 4% is a lot in the world of billionaires. So there's new money being made, and the rich are getting richer. And so, what do the rich want to do? The rich want to maintain power, wealth, and status. So, in order for everybody else to have a good lifestyle, right, what do you need? You, number one, in order to have wealth in the future, you're going to need assets, right? The American dream was always based on assets. You have you a house. That was your asset. You get married. And by being married, you can combine partnership to where your workforce is now increased, right? Which automatically increases your net worth because your family also, as a leader, represents how you manage that to where you can get the most output. So now instead of you just managing your own energy, saying, man, well, I can work, get $20 an hour, so therefore I can get me somewhere around $35,000, $40,000 a year. You saying, wait a minute now, I can get me a wife. We can cut down on our taxes on that. We can go in to where we can go buy us a house. We go buy us a house. We put a down payment. Now we have an asset that we can pass down to our children. Our children can then go work. If we establish a business, I can teach them, spend some time educating and pouring into them. So by the time I get to my 50s and 60s, they taking care of me. So my work is now managing the family instead of just managing myself, right? So you go from an entrepreneur to entrepreneur to entrepreneur, right? Or entrepreneur to entrepreneur, to where you're working in, to whether you're working on things. And the whole world has to go to a point where you have to become entrepreneurs. So getting back to the wealth transfer, the wealthy decided early on to buy assets, right? So they say, instead of me spending this money, instead of me getting into risky things and stuff like that, we're just going to accumulate assets. Because that's what they seen that their wealth is going to go into. So they start buying up assets, all the houses. You see the companies, the major corporations start buying up assets because they was afraid of what the future of money would be. So they say, we have wealth. Where the hell do we store it? Not to get a huge return. I don't care if it just beats inflation. That's all they cared about. So then you start seeing all the corporations buying the assets. What does that do? It raises the housing prices. It raises the asset prices. So buying a car becomes more expensive. Buying a house becomes more expensive. Buying art becomes more expensive. All the assets start to cost more. So what does this do? This creates a gap in between the idea, the American dream, and the average citizen. The average citizen saying, damn, by the time I work, go to school, pay off the debt, get out of that, and I'm ready to go buy me a house and settle down, the amount of income that I accumulated won't be enough for me to own these assets because the asset prices are raising higher than my physical and mental labor will allow me to produce. So what historically we call that is human capital, right? Your human capital, of course, is the value of your labor. So the American dollar is backed by what? The American dollar is backed by blood, sweat, and tears of the American people, aka the labor force. If you have a labor force, you can teach that labor force, educate them, and you can get a certain output. So therefore, the dollar of the country is based on that. Now, how do these countries end up growing? Technology and education. You can educate people to do mundane tasks. You can utilize their labor so you can then have more productivity, right? So America has one of the highest gross domestic products, right? But what happens is productivity decreases, so the output you get from the average person decreases, which also means the value of the dollar decreases. So first of all, you have a dollar that's decreasing, then you have productivity of the citizens decreasing. Then you don't want to pay people increased wage for the work that they output because then that means your wealth and your profits decrease. So what do you do? Anybody know? Who've been paying attention? What do you do? You have this scenario. You don't want to pay people more. Think about it as a business person yourself. You don't want to pay nobody no more money. You just bought you a house. You just bought you crypto, Bitcoin. You're getting profits. You're like, damn, if I pay people more, then there's less profits for me, which means there's less assets for me to acquire, which means I can't compete with other wealthy people that's acquiring more assets than me as prices are going up. Because if prices keep going up, then my wealth goes down because my purchasing power goes down. So over time, you have people say, well, hey, wait a minute now, I can buy one Bitcoin and I can hold it. Because the Bitcoin price will raise higher than the housing prices. So if I buy one Bitcoin right now, Maybe by the time I'm ready to buy a house, that Bitcoin will be worth a house. Makes sense. I buy an asset, then that asset allows me to afford a lifestyle in the future. So, what the rich do? They say, man, time for us to go and run the plan. And they all agreed on this. They said, what we're about to do is we're going to focus on AI. Now, not just one AI, you're going to see us going into the age of AI. Now, I called the age of AI in 2019. I told people that we're going into the age of AI because of the way that I see the world around me. I see it by the numbers, right? AI, A equals one on the alphabetical numeral equivalent. And I is the ninth letter of the alphabet, so that's nine. So when I see AI, I see the number 19. So why does this matter to me? One second. Because it's very important to understand how the world is built around you. It's not built by accident. Everything is built on purpose, right? And the plans are those for those who can see. It's not hidden from the conscious mind. It's only hidden from the sheep. It's only hidden from the blind, but it's hidden in what we call plain sight. So for those who see, those who can hear, right? Those are the ones to inherit the earth, to inherit the riches, to inherit the wealth. So the automation age goes into what? Alien immigrants, cheaper labor. We don't have to, they call it wage suppression. Let's not increase the wages. Let's find cheaper labor. So let's find somebody to do the same job for cheaper. So they bring in a wave of immigrants. This is why you see what you see today. Then automation. How can we replace physical and mental labor? Right? Let's bring in the robots. Let's bring in the artificial intelligence. These were the ways that the wealthy decide to solve the problem. So that's where the future goes. So then we say, okay, well, how do you win? You have to do what the wealthy are doing. Their focus right now is the accumulation of assets because they know that that is the only way to outpace and keep up with the changing dynamics of the world. Now, this changes the world dynamic because you have globalism, right? Which allows us to have competitive pricing. So, globalism, that means that you can go on Shein and you can go get you a nice outfit for the club instead of going to your local mall. You know what I'm saying? We share cultural influences from people all around the world. You feel me? They want to be black. They can learn that from a TikTok trend instead of their favorite black creator now. You feel me? There's these social exchanges that's happening all around the world, but it decreases the value of the source when you used to be the plug. Now, black people are not even the main plug for black culture. So now we get to replace you with an algorithm. Now, instead of me going to my local mall, all these malls get shut down because you can go to Temu. You're going to Temu, you're going to Shein, you're going to Alibaba. Why wouldn't I buy it direct from the Chinese if y'all buying it from the Chinese and then charging me money? I'm going to the plug. You feel me? It only makes sense now you have local creators that can compete with global creators. Used to just be Louis Vuitton is foreign, Hermes is foreign. Remember, it's all about the foreign. And we said, wait a minute now, wait a minute now. My boy just made some fly stuff. I ain't gonna lie, he got that sauce because some foreign designers needed the local designers. What if I just go to the local designers? Because Kanye West, he hired all the greatest designers in the world. And now they all doing their own thing instead of working for a central thing. Instead of them having to go to the foreign and then sell it back to us, man, I'm just gonna go directly to the plug. So what you start to get with Donald Trump, he's trying to push the idea of tariffs, right? So he wants to charge 100% tariffs. He wilding, like he telling y'all basically, if you want to buy it from China, you got to pay more for it. So he can incentivize you to get it local. So nobody wants to have to do that. Prices go up. The American people end up paying that unless they do something called reshoring. So that means that we start making things local. So instead of nationalism, I mean globalism, people focus on nationalism. Patriotism rises higher. So people say, no, I'm about to focus on nationalism. I want to get it local. I want to get it from my own people. So what you're seeing is even that goes into religious groups. You're going to see people looking for more traditional religion to be a part of. There's Christian nationalism on the rise. There's all of these different things that were happening when at first there was these decentralized sources for it. But the world is consolidating right now because people feel that if I'm not a part of something, then it's not safe outside for me. So the crowd mind goes into work and say, I need to be a part of the numbers. So now we have the AI wars that's going on, right? You have America fighting against BRICS, who they just signed up like another 20 countries doing trillions of dollars of business together. That's the de-dollarization. They say, we ain't messing with the dollar no more. So America, like, wait a minute, no. I've been a plug for this long, and y'all gonna tell me y'all don't want my product? Y'all not using my dollar? So now they turn into Denzel on Training Day. I'm putting cases on all you. So now they over there supplying money for wars. You know what I'm saying? Sending drones out, giving Israel anything that they want. America, like, wait a minute, y'all can't tell me you not gonna do business with me. That's like the cartel. And you telling them, bro, I'm gonna set up my own little local weed shop dispensary. I'm gonna start me a nice little farm over here and just work with my cousins. Eh. They're like, Hefe, it don't work that way. Hefe, it's blood in, blood out. I didn't know if you noticed. He said, I cut your peoples up. What you mean? And so America issuing threats, and they like, well, I'm gonna go work with my, I'm not only me, but all of us want to work by ourselves. And they like, oh, so all of y'all. You know what I mean? So Donald Trump come in, because at first, the cartel boss was soft. They got old men and ladies up there, and they like, man, we ain't worried about y'all. The cartel ain't what it used to be. So they end up hiring the old cartel boss, Donald Trump, come in. I said, now look, I know you thought things were sweet, but it's not. You know what I mean? And he show him, he starting chopping heads off. Day one, he coming in there and let them know we ain't playing no games. So now he putting taxes on everybody, tariffs on everybody, but he still got a problem because they are powerful and they don't want to use his dollar, don't want to use his product, right? So the American people, on the other hand, don't realize all of this is happening around them. And now you factor in cryptocurrency. The rich, or you can say that this has been probably a mechanism that was created by America. Or multiple agencies in coalition, because America have to eventually figure out what to do with all their debt and its damn dollar problem. So they say, you know what? I got something to solve for that. Y'all don't want to do business with me? I found another way to do business without you. We're going to increase our dollar. How do they do that? America is getting all of the states to then take their money and exchange it for Bitcoin by creating a Bitcoin treasury. Again, do as the rich do, right? Because they're setting their thing up. It's the same way you need to be setting yours up. If they're accumulating it and you buy it before them and they're buying it because they're waiting for that price shock to go up, once it goes up, well, if you buy it before them, then you're front running them in the race because they got a lot of bureaucracy. So the bureaucracy meaning all the issues that go in between before they can actually get something done. So they like, wait a minute now. If I can beat Ohio to the punch, I can beat California to the punch, I can beat all these countries. You ain't got to beat your cousins and your uncles and your homeboys and that person on social media that keep buying Lambos because every meme coin is hidden. Don't worry about them. You front running the countries and the corporations before they put it on their balance sheet like Michael Saylor has done. But what he's doing is he's not buying Bitcoin. He's exchanging dollars into a new currency. This is foreign exchange. Because he realized that, damn, let's calculate our net worth. If we're making trillions, but we owe trillions, then we in debt. But if we take our debt money that ain't worth nothing for real, and we exchange it for this new currency that's going to keep going up in value, and we got a trillion of that, and we got a trillion coming in, then that means that that is going to erase our debt, and now we actually go be in a net positive. So they're playing the game smart. So for every dollar that you're making, you should be focused on how do I then turn that into an asset? As the dollar goes down, as the value of my work goes down, right? And as they're trying to replace the value of my work and the value of my dollar and the value of my mind with automation and alien immigration, because alien immigration is needed to patent the numbers. Last year was the worst numbers that came out when it comes to what's the word that I'm looking for? Your ability to have babies, right? There was a very low percentage of male and females historically that have the ability to create babies. So this is an issue. Testosterone levels are low. There's plastic in our bodies. There's plastic in the seas. There's plastic in everything that we eat. And so they're worrying about public health because they're not making enough people. And remember, the dollar is backed by the blood, sweat, and tears of the American people. You find a society that has a decreased decline in population, then they're going to decrease decline in power because they're going to decrease incline, thank you, fertility rates. They're going to decrease incline. So fertility rates in the body also represent fertility in the mind, meaning that when the body is not producing energy, right, and producing babies to give birth to, that also represents the creativity of the population. It's called fecundity. So there's a direct correlation between that. So now they need to create machines and robots. So Elon Musk saying, well, how about we just create a universal basic income, give people enough money to where they can live a certain lifestyle. We will have enough money to where they can live a certain lifestyle, right? But we're going to replace the workforce with the robots. Now, you replace the workforce with the robots. Now, what's happening here? You got to really listen to this. You talking about simultaneously, you got millions of robots working together that's all connected on a network. As each robot learns, right? It sends information to the next robot so that they can learn as well. So that means that you have this labor force that's incrementally getting better. Imagine if human beings, as I learn something, I can just shoot you psychically that lesson and you learned it as well. So now they're going to be getting so good at productivity, it decreases, it's going to go through a price of decreased goods. That means that things become cheaper. As things become cheaper, you're going to be utilizing that universal basic income to pay for those things. So they're going to say, we can at least provide a certain level of goods and material and services to the American people or to people globally that they can afford based on the income that we give them. And then, of course, additionally, however you figure out how to exchange your energy for more income, plus the assets that you own that you're going to be able to leverage as credits in the future. Now, all of this, I'm not going to lie, it sounds very dystopian. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Painted a very dystopian future, but I don't make the rules on everything. I follow the signs, I follow the signals, and I watch where things are coming. Now, with the way things are now in this ugly phase, we have quantum computing that is coming to give the world a makeover. Quantum computing is like, it's like that little skinny kid. He's smart, he tough, he got potential, but they just came in, gave him a testosterone shot. He working out now. You feel me? He fly. He got this beautiful girl. He energized, powerful, he intellectual. You know what I'm saying? Like looking good out there. Because what happens is we have to go from on what they call the Kardashev scale of type one to type two to type three to type four civilizations. We are what they call consider to be at a type 0.7 civilization. We're not even at a type one. Type one is essentially where we can harness the full energy of the earth and the sun. So we haven't mastered that. The only reason we haven't is because capitalism has kept us back. And we have been dependent on dead oil and coal. So our energy source has not been the best, but that's because the Carnegies of the world and such of that nature that has controlled the pipeline, quite literally, and the oil barons and the people who run the world, they've been pushing off technology as far as they can so that they can make as much money as possible. But now that the world is too big for them to hold the whole globe off of these things. So quantum computer comes in, which has to be powered by energy sources. But America currently only have like five different warehouses to where they have these energy sources. And five of those is being contracted by Kevin O'Leary. And they're trying to figure out how do we get better with our energy production. The same way, if you have a population of people that are trying to figure out how we can stay productive so that we can have supremacy over the world, that means you would need them to be focused on to optimize their energy all at the same time. So now the world is going to do that with computers and these networks, and the quantum computing is what's going to allow them to do that. Once they turn this online, and Google is the closest to having that done. And they're having quantum supremacy. They're going to then have quantum as a service. So what is quantum? It's essentially saying instead of operating with binary, we're doing one, zero calculations at a time, right? I seen Sanaa Obao did a great presentation on this. She's a futurist, fellow futurist, and she was explaining, imagine you have two people going into a maze. And one person has to go walk that route themselves to figure out how to get out. So they go through this route, that's a dead end. They got to come back. Then they got to try another route, then come back. So there's one, zeros, they're doing it right one at a time, essentially. Now, this other person, imagine they have this power to be able to try all routes at the same time. Now, unless that other person, of course, gets lucky the first time, right? They're not going to beat this person that has this ability to split. Right. And instead of operating at one bit of information, they can operate what they call quit bits. So they can do it in multiple times. Not only they can try this route, another route, that route, that route, that route, that route, to where they can derive to the answer much faster. So these quantum machines allow us to have high level computing power to process much faster than we've ever had. Not only that, it got to the point to where they said that this newest computer by Google had the ability to process a complex problem that would have taken septillion years, which is the expanse of what's considered to be the known universe. So they said this thing had to go into a whole nother dimension in order to solve this problem and then come back and get it done. Now, that's something. Now, while we arguing about Remy Ma and Papoose marriage and whether Jay-Z did it or not, these people is over here creating God machines. And these God machines is to power up this world. Now, you got the robots. Now, imagine you got a fleet of drones, right? So now, instead of having pilots, because remember, they need physical people to fight these wars, right? America has been able to be a global influence based on influence, a global power based on influence and presence. So, influence, global influence, people want to be Americans. America influenced everything. Specifically, though, America's quantum machine has been Black America. Has been a quantum machine. Boy, we different. Imagine what America would be without Black people. They wouldn't have been able to go through plantations because early the managing of energy was through slave masters to manage productivity of human beings for slave labor force that allow one man to manage a fleet to where he get access to the skill sets in that fleet, the physical capacity of that fleet, to where his productivity is now measured by the workforce that he manages. Then you add horses, then you add cars, then you add steam engines, then you add technology, and then you add education. All these things over time, how we've managed those is directly correlated with who becomes wealthy. Now, Black Americans were literally the first stock to be put on the dollar. When you have a country that is operating with free labor, of course they're going to go faster than other countries that's not, because they can get more done for less. So now you have these people becoming wealthy and wealthy. Then you have people who decide to become entrepreneurs, and then they create systems of monopolies. To where they said, instead of having a free enterprise and a free market to where anybody can start a business and compete with us, how about we just own the whole industry? So therefore, we can be at the top. And they had to create laws, anti-monopoly laws, to regulate that. But who was working? Who was the cheapest labor in America? It's always been the cheapest labor in America. It was Black people. Then newly it became immigrants. So the immigrants literally came to replace your ancestors, your people, because historically they got that cheap labor from you. But not only did they get their labor, they got the skill sets, the innovation, the ingenuity, the inventiveness, the creative capacity. So they're not only just getting labor from us, they're getting our spiritual technology and everything that we have to give. So they created industries to set up for us and around us. The first music, American music in this country, is Black music. It's a fact. So we have powered up America for a very long time. And now they want to decrease their dependency on us the same way other countries want to decrease their dependency on America. Well, how do we replace y'all? Well, let's create a Suno AI that can sing like a Black person. Damn, I don't need you no more. Let's create an algorithm that studies y'all for the last 100 plus years, for however many years, and let's see if we can create that same thing to where we can influence the world so that they can consume what we produce. Because Black culture is a multi-trillion dollar export, and it's incalculable what we've contributed to society in the world globally, specifically Black Americans. So I digress from that point. But they want to pay you less. So they say, wait a minute, if y'all having more babies, Africa, they having more babies than any other country. The Asians, they having an issue right now. They're paying people to come in and help fill their empty cities. So they'll pay you to come out there and work. All these people trying to pay for remote work because they need people. Why is there a global population decrease happening while ours is increasing? Because we have the best technology of our bodies. And they don't tell you that everybody's the same, but it's not true. Well, it's not true. It's just evident. Otherwise, Africa wouldn't be having a baby boom while the rest of the world is having a baby bust. And the only reason we're not having as many babies is because we abort so many, we lock so many up, we kill so many depressed, dead, jail, suicide, plethora of disease and things of that nature. But if we were healthy and allowed to thrive, we would outpace everybody in the world. We do it to ourselves. But if it got to this point where we're that bad, how productive can we be for America anyway? If we were learning in the tech fields and we were thriving in all the fields, but we're not, so what did they do? The illegal immigrants that came, or the immigrants that came over to replace us, the alien immigrants that came to replace us, were the Asians, the Indians, top in the tech fields and things. And so they're running that field. So wealth that we could have gotten, economies that we could have built, have went to a different.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Whether you have big goals for the new year or are crash landing into 2025, there's one thing you can do right now to prepare yourself. Invest in your mental health with therapy. The truth is, nobody knows what the year ahead holds, but a Talkspace therapist can help you get ready for what's next by building mental resilience so you can face life's twists and turns. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you develop coping skills for handling whatever life throws at you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Culture. And shout out to them. They did it their way. They did it the right way. The Jewish community, they understood that. How about we just manage Black America? We'd be their agent. We'd be their lawyers. We'd be their accountants. How about we just manage Black America? We ain't got to be damn that talented. These dudes like magic. Let them go run up and down the field. Let them go make the greatest songs in the world. We'll just manage the talent like robots. So this is the first time Black people will be put in a position to manage ourselves and manage our technology ourselves, right? So now everybody is going to that position. It's just a shift up. So they realize, like, wait a minute. Matter of fact, alien immigrants got so bad that they even brought in people from the UK and Africa to play Black American stories because they don't want to have to pay you more. Wage suppression. And it's not just Black Americans, the whole society said we don't want to pay nobody more. Wage suppression. We don't pay them more than we make more. Let's just automate. So now let's take the likeness of the workforce and let's create an artificial intelligence that we roll out. Because what if we want to build to create a universal basic income? Well, how are we gonna entertain people? That's costing a lot. Apple makes the best shows out right now, but they also it costs so much to make them. Imagine if they can figure out how to make an entertaining show, right? And or movie, and everything is artificial to where they can decrease the cost. Hollywood is expensive. They spend billions of dollars to make these beautiful productions. Well, if you think if Hollywood can increase their profits by saying we spend $1 million to make $1 billion, then that means the cost of the entertainment goes down. The distribution becomes damn near free. So you can damn near be entertained for free, right? And you're damn near not paying anything, so they can lower the cost of services. The government pays them to make it, give you a universal basic income. You get a couple of credits to watch things that's a little more premium. So now you have a lifestyle. You get a little entertainment. You got some credits to where you can go to the store, right? You know, maybe every once in a year you can travel somewhere. Because they've automated and they've cheapened everything. So now it allowed them to keep making the same amount of profits while you can enjoy a certain lifestyle. But if you want to be above that universal basic lifestyle, then that means that you have to accumulate assets that allow you to afford things that the average cannot. Because, yes, Emmanuel Stennett, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Why? Because things are cheap. But you will not be able to experience what the wealthy can. So the people that are buying the Bitcoins and the cryptos and the assets and the people that are building out the services and learning the things now are the people that will be in the future able to afford a completely different lifestyle. You travel around the world, you can eat what you want to, right? You can move and have freedom because freedom will be something that everybody will have to ask themselves if they can afford, which it is now, but it's going to change because money is not going to be the same. So you ask yourself, what the hell? Bitcoin being digital gold, then you got Bitcoin Cash, right? But what is cryptocurrency going into? If all energy is flowing out of one system, going into another system, they're building out new systems. Which means they're building out a new world, which represents a timeline shift. So that shift in that timeline has already occurred. The world is going to look vastly different as we go into a complete automation of it. And what you have to do in your lifestyle is that you have to end frivolous spending. You have the every dollar that you spend right now on something that you don't need is taken away from a lifestyle that you're going to want to have in the future. And you think that these dollars, they only worth so much now. But truly, they're worth more than you ever know if you know where to put them. So my suggestion is DCA. It's dollar cost average. You take a percentage of everything you own, everything, and you put it into an asset. You put it into a crypto, you put it into, they have tokenized assets to where you can buy into things and you have fractional assets. You can buy land, you can buy multiple different things where you can't own the whole thing, we'll buy a piece of it. So as the value of that goes up, you have a piece. And what you do is you never sell it. You leverage the value of that. So imagine if you got a whole Bitcoin. Well, people like, well, how can I just have all my money in Bitcoin, man? What if I got to spend some money? No, you don't spend it. No. That's the old world. The new world is you leverage. You borrow against it. You borrow credit from that. And then once you borrow credit from that, then you can spend that, but you got to pay that back so you can keep your assets. Because when you have to give away your assets, you lose. That's like somebody taking a castle that they inherited from their family. And they want to buy something, so they trade the castle for it. Well, if you knew that your time represented the castle, you wouldn't want to trade it. Man, I ain't giving you my castle for that coat. I ain't giving you that castle for the club experience. Man, you crazy. You ain't getting a piece of this. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna borrow against my castle. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm gonna pay that castle back, and that castle gonna be worth more in the future. But with crypto, it's so dope. When you do that, let's say if Crypto, you got it. It was at 50,000. You took out a $50,000 loan. Well, it goes up to 100,000. It just paid for itself. Yeah, it paid nothing back. So, therefore, you start to understand the value of things in a completely different way, and you have to master the world in a different way. And the accumulation of these assets is going to require you over the next, I say, 3 years for black and brown people who don't have wealth, 6 years for everybody else, because we have to make quantum leaps. Now, here's the dangerous thing. Because dollar cost average will work for you. You'll be able to afford more than average lifestyle if you do more than what the average person is not willing to do right now. But it requires you to start now. I don't even, now. Now, assets, assets, assets. Assets over liabilities is really one of the greatest quotes and revolutions going on right now. But we have to take it more serious. So, not only assets, skill sets. Because if you can become a leader and you can lead a bunch of people, if you can become a salesman and you can sell to a bunch of people, you have a value that will always be necessary in the world. Skill sets and assets is really the key. And I really wanted to drive this point home for you all because they have what they call financial nihilism. And I know you all may have seen me talk about this. I know you all have seen all the gambling commercials that go on and everything. Well, what happens? A person says that, wait a minute, the asset price is so high. People, this is going to become a bigger thing. And I'm going to tell you why we have an advantage. Black people already got financial nihilism. A lot of these things is about to happen to the world, we've already been experiencing. The rest of the society is just now experiencing, so you should actually have more resilience. Financial nihilism is that you believe that the system is already rigged against you. So therefore, you feel as if there's no reason to participate in it. So what this does is this leads to more gambling because a person feels like the only way I can take control is if I could try to figure out how to make more riskier bets so that I can try to make a come up. So this leads to gambling and riskier behavior. But it's also the reason that black males were the first to get into crypto heavily more than anybody else at first. Because we grew up with financial nihilism. Because we like, man, the white man own everything, man. I can't get ahead in this damn system. Wait a minute, crypto, what's that? A new financial system. Oh, I'm for it. Yeah, everybody else talking about, man, that ain't real. What y'all talking about? You feel me? Brothers putting money in, and then they looked at the statistics and said, wait a minute, black men are in it more than anybody else. So they said, no, we got to run a psyop on this. Let's crash it a few times so we shake the tree, get them out of that. Because if we allow them to continue to hold on with the way things going, they gonna be the wealthiest in the future. So they had to run media, they had to run ads, they had to dissuade you. And it worked. It worked. They say, they try to make everything that we get in a scam. Because they need to shake the tree and they need to take away our belief and need to have us to have a nihilistic viewpoint of it. That it's all despair, nothing's gonna work. But the whole time, it was the right bet, it was the right investment. The thesis was point on, but it's your own people that'll get at you. So, as you're going on your journey, you're gonna have to be confident about what you believe. You're gonna have to be confident about your execution. You're gonna have to be confident about your plan. And if the majority of the people don't understand it, damn it, that means you're right. You never want to be with the majority. You never want to be in agreement with the mass populace. You stick to your thesis, your idea, your plan, and you move forward throughout all the noise. I know how hard it is. I've been an outlier my whole life. And I've, like many people, have doubted my own self before. Because the noise on the outside becomes louder than the noise on the inside. And I realized, damn, if I'd have just listened to myself, I'd have listened to you ashy Negroes and y'all done took away my wealth. And I don't even want to be like y'all. Why am I listening to y'all? But you got to be. You know, you got to be like, and this is important. Real, this is really important. You got to be like Kanye West. You got to have one of them. You got one of them Kanye egos. I'm right. Everybody else wrong. No, seriously. It's readjusting to not live on the old timeline. You have to live in the new timeline. And there's a lot of things, ways of thinking, money, systems that are just completely outdated. It's just outdated. You may look crazy to somebody. Doing things in a new way, speaking in a new way, acting in a new way. Because everybody tried to get you to shift back on the old, but it's a new timeline. Most people can't see that we're living in a new world. They just haven't updated yet. I mean, y'all know a family member who still ain't updated their iPhone. But they still got one of them old, outdated iPhones. Still ain't updated. Ain't did a software or a hardware update. Tired of them. It's a whole new world out there. You can erase texts and stuff. Record phone calls. It's all stuff you can do now. They ain't even got a FaceTime update. But that's what it's like talking to some people. They are not realizing that we have had a whole new entire shift and update on this planet. It's here, but everybody hasn't updated yet. Some people still operating with that old system. And they're going to be forced to update because that old system won't allow them to have access to things that they used to. So eventually the system forces you to update to even interact with the world. So whether you want to or believe in it doesn't matter. There were so many people saying, I ain't getting on that damn internet. I ain't getting on no social media. What was that? The tactic TikTok? I ain't getting on that. What is that? Instagram? I ain't posting no pictures on that. E-commerce, man, I ain't making no digital store. I got my physical store. Time dictates the truth. And they were forced. So it's the same thing that goes along with the new ways that we have to be thinking, the new ways to do business, the new ways we have to network. I'll reveal to you all something that I want to do and I will be doing. The goal is to build a, first is to build a digital nation. Infinite Wealth Strategies is a digital nation. We built this out. And let's say we got 10,000 members. And let's say Infinite Wealth Strategy has its own currency. Then let's say we build out a DAO and we decide to say, okay, we can put all our money into one thing. And then we'll go buy physical assets. Let's say I go out to Atlanta. And there's this 100 acres I want to get. And we can tokenize that land ownership and distribute it out the community. And we can create our own micro communities, right? But not only we stop there, we say, well, let's expand. Let's go buy one in Panama. Let's go buy one in Ghana. And these are places that you have access and membership to. You don't have to pay the enormous fees that you normally would. But because you are part of this membership, then you not only have access, you have part ownership of it as well. They give you a discount and give you access to some of the profit revenue sharing. Mr. Beast just got paid millions of dollars to build out his own gaming city by Amazon. Elon Musk is trying to get the Starlink city to be recognized by Texas as its own city because the world is going towards network nations where you're taking digital infrastructure and turn it into physical infrastructure. So it's no longer about, hey, can everybody in the world unite? It's about who is a part of your network in a real way. Because now we have the tools to be decentralized, create our own banking, our own loaning, right? Our own communities, our own digital cities, digital nations, and then physical ones. That's not just in one category, which is why I say the idea that we have about Black Wall Street is so old. One centralized location, we just circulate the dollar a lot. It's so much of an old idea. It's not even the best example we have. It's not even the best example. If we wanted to go to the best example that Black America has as an economy, a network economy. And the problem is that a lot of you all never looked into this. It's because the devil left keeping you away. He don't want you to know your real timeline. America shifts in timeline. Black America has a different timeline. When the civil rights started, shifted a timeline. We stopped focusing on global allies, global connections. We stopped focusing on self-participation and saving oneself. We stopped focusing on how do we do for self, create our own economy. No. We start focusing on how can we assimilate, integrate, and get along. So we started rewarding and awarding, and we exalted organizations like the NAACP. We exalted people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the rest of them. Because we were shifted to go away from do for self, because that would be too powerful and it wouldn't be able to control that type of network of Black people economically. The first time Martin Luther King started talking about economic and boycotting Coca-Cola, that man was killed the next day. They said, you better not get up there and use that powerful southern draw of a pastoral voice to go up there and tempt people to do for self like a Malcolm, like Elijah Muhammad. Boy, you done lost all your minds. They shot that man because he had the right plan. And then they changed the history and revised it as if the thing that he was dying for was civil rights when it was silver rights. It was our economic privileges that he was fighting for, so a day like this wouldn't exist. That a generation wouldn't be fighting for housing and discrimination and voting rights still. So we go back and we say, who had the best plan that was working? Now, somebody tell me, in your public school, which History Channel ran this special? Which Black media publication? Which movie media has shown the truth about our history? How many of you all have seen the Nation of Islam's economy in the 1960s, 70s, 50s? How many of you all know what was even going on? Most of the history we hear about is the dissension between Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm. But what about what was going on and then what happened? If I told you they was, wouldn't if you knew at the time, they having meetings and they in there announcing saying, hey, this year economically, this is in the 1960s. They think we got mom and pop stores and mom and pop shops. We doing big business. We got $50 million in income. And the crowd goes crazy. And then he started listing it out. He said, we got schools. He got like 36 schools. He said, we got temples in every city across America. He said, we got grocery stores, aviation schools. He said, we about to go buy airplanes from America. He said, we got barbershops, restaurants. He said, we got it to where we got sewing. He said, we got poultry. We cutting our own meat. He said, we got our own farms. I mean, the list just kept going and kept going and kept going. And I did the math. I said, well, Dad, how much was $50 million in that time to today's time? That $50 million was worth $400 million. So imagine if that would have continued, that would have been a multi-billion dollar economy. But that was the best network nation that we have in Black America's history that reached the farthest. Now, I know you all thinking, well, what happened? Oh, we ain't got it now. How come Minister Farrakhan ain't got it now? Minister Farrakhan didn't inherit that nation. What happened? And many believe the FBI got to his son because he had too much power. His son inherited the nation, even though Elijah Muhammad left it to Minister Farrakhan. But Minister Farrakhan had to go on a 3-year run because they was trying to kill that man. So his son, Wardeen Muhammad, said, let's shift away from this Black nationalism. Let's shift away from that and let's just go when everybody's just Muslims and we go back into the Arab world nation of Muslims. And he started dismantling and selling off the businesses and didn't believe in his father's way anymore. And he dismantled the nation and then he died. And the Minister Farrakhan, the nation that he had, was one that he had to build himself up from the first mosque in Chicago. And that's the one you have. So you had two different ones. So when people say, why the nation don't have this, this nation that is here now never had that. And you had a bunch of greedy Negroes. But the actual plan and blueprint that he laid out, where he had Black people saying, give $1.50 a day, you will have to adjust that to inflation, of course. But there was an economic blueprint that nobody talks about as if it just didn't exist. And I hear some of the political pundits, I heard Candace Owens talking about how Black people have more had more than they had today. I said, but yeah, you got to go to the details of who had it. Who was teaching? It wasn't the civil rights teachers. It was the ones you call radical. It was the revolutionaries. I talked to y'all about the first protest in this country that nobody talks about. 1917, the silent parade, when they hold enough signs saying that we got $100 million worth of farmland. Well, how much you think that's worth today? Well, would have been worth if we would have kept it. They had signs, do for self, govern yourself. They went out there with a silent, because they went out there protesting, loud, marching. That shit ain't never worked. They went out there for self-respect and dignity with a list of everything that they already had. And they told the government, we've been fighting for y'all. There's never been a Negro that has attempted to assassinate a president ever. Ever, you know, we fought in every war and we were the first blood that was shed in this country. We're not asking for no handouts, but at the same time, the government job is to provide opportunity for the people and get the hell out of our way. They had 10,000 nurses out there and all white looking beautiful. They had the brothers, they had the list of the union workers, they had the list of the mason brick workers, they had the list of everything that they had going on. Well, why isn't that not a tradition that was studied and carried on? So I bring this back to this point. Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. What America realized is that they need to gut the government in order for the government to make more money. Too much bureaucracy, too many people in the way. They said they've already realized where there's $3 trillion that they're overspending, and they just cut out certain service and restructure. They can make that money and put that on the books. So they're trying to get America out of its debt. Well, I said, well, first of all, I predicted that in 2019. I got it written down. I've posted it multiple times. I talked about the new America, where in the new America is going to be ran by the elites, where they discard non-essential personnel. And it's a one-world government system. And then I realized that every time you see a macro, that's the government. Then you have to look at the nation within a nation, which is the decentralized fractal Black America. Because we say Black America, but we never look at it as a whole government. So what we would have to actually do, we have to do what they do. We would have to then go look at these organizations that are the Boule organizations and cut them out because they have too much power, influence, and money that is in the way of real progress. They control too much of central messaging, and then they have sold us out by coupling that with these other movements where they start using words like, what's the word they use when they say, we got two issues that align with each other? What's the word they use? Oh, it's a word I don't like. You have not allies, intersectionality. Intersectionality. All this intersections. Somehow that wealth ain't never merged though. All these intersections. So then what black women realized in this last election was that them damn intersections don't go to the same place. Because white woman was in an intersection with you, but then they got off on the exit with they man. And you went home alone. And then black, I'm like, where y'all going? Like, oh, we got different destinations, baby. So that did not work. Then you have, of course, all the LGBT intersectionality. It was never a nationality, it was never black first. So we sold it out. And now the bureaucracy, the same way they say there's too much government bureaucracy, the bureaucracy is that we can't talk black first unless we're talking about somebody else's issues. Wait a minute, why we can't just get down to what we need? Why we gotta watch what we say about them or who we offending and not offending and get rid of this person because that person don't like him and now this leader is speaking the truth, but then we get paid over here too much, so now we can't raise them, so now we can't move forward. But if we gut all that out and we just left with the efficiency of how to make progress by having a one world communication, meaning that all the media platforms say is the same thing. People are inside these networks to where they're putting their money and we're producing what we consume. We're cutting out our unnecessary spending. Instead of us participating in globalism, we focus on nationalism, right? To where we are. Yes, still have the spirit of a Black Wall Street, but we see it as a network and not a place. It is a not a place, but a time. And when we focus on conquering time instead of space, then that's when we become a people that's even in the right race. I ain't even trying to rhyme. It just happens sometimes. But we've been focused on spatial territory. Let's rebuild a Black Wall Street. We need that space. No, it's time territory. It's our time. And over the next 50 to 100 years, this is the way we will move. That is the asset that nobody can take away from you. And that's the asset that if you invest it correctly, it becomes more valuable. So we have to focus on our mental, our spiritual discipline going into this 2025. And we have to focus on consolidation of our power as we are all here as strategists working to build wealth. But build wealth for what? For who? For why? If we consolidate that as a network and we work with each other instead of a top-down system, we have a lateral system till we're working side by side and it becomes circular, then that's how we win. Because my wealth and your wealth and other person's wealth, individually, it's not much, but collectively, it's all we need. So I wanted to drive home how important that is. And I hope you all took some notes because I want you to go out there. I want you to observe. Just observe. Observe the world and what's going on. Observe the news, and you can see. Now you have a 50 feet height advantage of the rest of the world. You can see what's going on. So now you don't have to be worried because you've already been told. So now you know what you need to do. You need to be someone who accumulates your dollar cost average. You want to double down on that skill. You learn how to invest or trade. You learn as much as you can so you can increase your value over time so your human capital goes up as the world is decreasing the value of it. You become an executor. You have to be physically together. The physical is very important during this time because if this body, this technology that you have, is not in its optimal condition, as the world goes into quantum hyperspeed because time has sped up, if they can commit to completing a problem that would have took septillion years and they can do it in 5 minutes, that means that time has shifted. So how do you compete with that? Only in the imagination. But your body has to be powered up so that it can even fire up here. Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, man, it's light. Knowledge is light. Knowledge is light. So you can eat correctly, but if you don't have the light of knowledge in your mind, right? If the light of energy is not in it, it doesn't matter what you eat. It doesn't matter what you intake, just that. No, you have to have that spiritual light within you, and that has to be powered up by you, and you have to be connected to the Creator, meaning that you have to be able to find time in silence and stillness so that you can be deep within self. You have to be intuitively correct. Because who has time to sift through all this information? We not computers, we humans. We are the greatest design ever happened in the history of the universe. So as they try to create as many machines as they can, all they're trying to do is duplicate the capabilities of the human design. That's it. And we haven't gotten that far yet. Because once you come out your mother's womb, even if you don't eat that good, you still last a good 50, 60 years. Even if you ain't got no take care instructions, you might not get to no Pulitzer Prize and all of that, but you still be out here productive in society. We ain't made a machine that can do that. It's born once and it lives and lives and lives, and it can be so impactful that it changes the trajectory of the course of human history. Your mind is the most powerful thing that can't be duplicated because you have a direct connection to source. So you have to be in your godliness. And I'll end it like I started it. It's not about being in God's image. That's just step one. And we talk so much about step one. Oh, we love being in God's image. We love that mirror. We see all that melanated cocoa butter greatness. We see that copper color skin tone. I ain't even getting me right. I got a clear camera just so I can see myself because I love God's image too. But that is not the end all be all. It is about being in God's likeness. Because you can look like your father. That don't mean you are like your father. When somebody say, somebody, boy, you can have a son, he dumb as a box of crayons. But he looked just like you. Well, that boy looked just like you, but he ain't nothing. He ain't got your mind, though. No. That boy looked just like you, but he a damn fool. That's how we play with God. We be happy just to be in his image. Yeah, God made us in his image, but you have to produce yourself into God's likeness. And God say, be, and it is. He's not lazy. He doesn't procrastinate. He executes. That means that he is not a dead God. He has light in the mind, light in the body. He can bring out ideas into the universe. He's not afraid of a future, because when you exist, you have as much impact over the future as anything else. But if you think about it, then you produce. So when you're in that God's likeness, you take on those traits. You become a disciple to do the will of God. And then your life opens up. That's when a real life starts, beyond the fear and going into the capability. Your only competition is your potential, your godly potential. So when you think of your future self, when you think of your God likeness, ask yourself, are you becoming? Are you going into, or are you going out of? Because some of us are getting farther away, while some of us are getting closer too. Now pick up that pace, because we ain't got our goddamn day. I'm not perfect in this thing of ours, but I tried to give you all enough. Even though we in this world of all of these things, we have to take time every day for stillness and for breath. We have to take time to discipline our bodies, to work out every day. You can't stay in here. If you come, you can come in one way. You can't stay that same way. There has to be a criteria for not just admittance. You know what I'm saying? But how do you stay in? So that means that your physical health needs to be successful. That means your spiritual health needs to be getting better. That means that your financial wealth, it ain't got to change overnight, but you should be investing in that to where you can say, well, my thesis tells me I want to invest in quantum, or I'm going to put it in crypto because of this why, or I'm going to do over here and this. And you can be comfortable by consistent development of skill set over time, so that you know that your future is confident, that your future self ain't got nothing to worry about, because you're not trying to protect yourself from the future. You're preparing yourself for it. Now, family, I was not planning on, I never plan on getting in here and going this long. But you know, it's my time and it's God's time, and he be having different plans for my time from time. But I wanted to help bring you all to speed, because this is part of my message that I'll be giving February 7th. And I want you all to show up if you can. Fly in, look good, put that stuff on. You know what I'm saying? Bring a friend, tell a friend to bring a friend. It's going to be special. We're working on a Revolt sponsorship, Live Nation. There's a lot of people that's trying to get behind this one. So we're working on having some special guests there. This one is going to be different than any other show that we've done. And the goal of this is to save yourself, futurist blueprint, and cosmism, which cosmism I don't have time to go over today, of course, but of course we have time with each other. But in between these times in which we meet, these days in which we meet, there should be execution. We have the trophy room inside the Infinite Wealth Strategies. I want you all to put your wins there, small wins, big wins, because it represents that we are executing. Right? That's our goal. We're executing, meaning that we're taking what we have, and that is enough for us to execute on it. I put out the cryptos and the stocks. I don't do that by accident. I do that because I want you all to then do your homework on what I put out and then make a decision and execute so you can get a benefit from it. Now, there were some people, a lot of people that told me, hey, they took the stocks, they took the crypto picks, and they made gains from it. We plan on, another thing is for all of you all to write your books. We're going to be doing a communication class in January, right? We're going to be continuing to go over and update some of the strategies and even reshoot a lot of the things that we've done in Infinite Wealth Strategies and update it. We have the physical copies of our book that I want everybody to get. It's going to be required reading. I don't have it with me right now, but we have our physical copy of our stock and our crypto books, not the ones that you all got from the ebooks. But the same way, if you went to a college and you have books, we have those hard copies, textbooks that we have made so that we can spread that throughout Black America. Because if we can get this into the hands of everybody throughout 2025, you at least have the framework and the blueprint to execute on. And anytime that you want to have a reference and you don't want to have to open up that phone, which I wouldn't suggest, you can go into that textbook because I do believe in decentralized colleges, right? And we utilize these social platforms so we can still have that social aspect of what college provided, but we do it in a virtual sense. So we're planning and we're working things out little by little. So I want to thank you all for being a part of this. I look forward to being a part of your journey of building wealth, right? And if there's anybody here that wants to be a sponsor of the show, you have a business, you have a service, you need something that wants to get more reach, right? You all will be the first ones that get offered. So you can email 19keys@19keys.com. And make sure you let me know that you are a student. So I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Let's continue to work. Let's continue to work rather, and let's continue to strategize. Because if we're strategizing, then we're generals in this game of life, and life is war, and we need our battle plans. So peace to all the strategists. Peace to all the family. Peace. Oh, last but not least, if you can go into the whether you're in a Telegram or the Infinite Wealth Strategies and leave a testimonial about tonight's message in the Infinite Wealth Strategies, you can either do a paragraph message or you can do a video message. Thank you. Peace, family.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace. Peace.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.